Amen. God is good. Jeremiah chapter 18 is where we're going to be in the Word of God for just a few minutes this morning. And we're going to be looking at this, lessons from the potter's house. Now in the scriptures, God uses many images to describe His relationship with His people. He uses that of the sheep and the shepherd. He uses that of the husband and the wife. He uses the father-child, just to name a few. Now, every one of those teach us valuable lessons about our life and about our relationship with our Lord. When we think about the fact that we are sheep, number one, it reminds us that we are dumb and that we need a shepherd. Amen? I'm sorry if that offends you this morning, but sheep are dumb. God could have used a number of smart animals, a number of majestic animals. God could have used a number of animals that do a number of tremendous things, but God picked sheep, okay? And so let's just embrace it. At least He didn't pick cat. Amen? Amen. Wonderful. And really, that idea of the sheep and the shepherd, it goes to relate to us God's protection and God's provision for His people. Aren't you glad that the Lord is our shepherd? We don't have to want. That He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still water. That He restores our soul. That He makes a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Aren't you glad that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Aren't you glad the Lord is your shepherd? Amen. The image of the husband and wife. How God unconditionally loves us. The image of the child and the father, His constant care. But I'm going to tell you this morning, one of the greatest portraits of God and His people is that of the potter and the clay. We find it here in Jeremiah chapter number 18. We see it again referenced in Romans. We see it referenced in Corinthians as we are described as earthen vessels. We see it in Timothy as it talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The idea of the potter and the clay. And this beautifully illustrates our Heavenly Father and His preparation and His plan for His people. This morning, I got good news for anyone who's ever messed up. By the way, who would that be this morning? Anybody that's ever messed up. Come on now, this is church. I've never messed up. You're in church, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, this is a good message for anybody that's ever messed up. This is a good message for anybody who's ever felt broken. This is a wonderful message to anybody who's ever desired to quit. Because you know what? When we see the potter, we see the potter is still at work. And the specialty of the potter is not just another chance, but is new life. New life. Now I'll tell you this morning, the primary interpretation of the passage we're about to read really is for Israel as a nation. You look at verse 5 and 6, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in his hand, in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And the rest of the chapter goes on, and we see God's message to Israel. And I'm going to tell you, we are not the nation of Israel nationally. At least I'm not. I got my ancestry DNA, and I am not of the nation of Israel nationally. I can tell you that with a great deal of confidence. But we are the people of God spiritually. And what we see in Jeremiah, again we see in Romans, again we see in Corinthians, again we see in Timothy and other places. And so this morning, I'd like us all to take a little trip, if we could, and learn a few lessons at the potter's house. Look at verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this, "The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Notice with me, if you would, number one, the potter. I want you to see the potter this morning. His identity. When Jeremiah went to the potter's house, do you know what Jeremiah noticed? Jeremiah immediately noticed that there was somebody in charge, that there was somebody doing the work. And you know what? When we think about the idea of the potter, the identity of our potter is very, very clear. It is the Lord God Almighty. And you think about our potter, you think about a couple of things. Number one, that his power is absolute. The clay cannot stop the potter. The clay cannot reply against the potter. And the reality is for you and I this morning that our God, our potter, is still the sovereign Lord of all the universe. Daniel chapter number 4 and verse number 35 says this: all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will with the in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And the ladies and gentlemen, what I love is when we go and when we look and when we see our potter, we see someone who is in absolute control. The potter. And I'm going to remind you this, that really all of human history is simply God's dealings in clay. You know, you remember where you come from. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible reminds us this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Oh, come on, I know I called you sheep, and now I'm calling you dust. Again, I'm not making you feel real good, but the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, come on, preach with me this morning, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so reality is that all of human history, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation and eternity to come, is really just the potter's dealings with the clay. And I think about Jeremiah as he went down to that potter's house. And church, I don't think it's a mistake when in verse number 3, the Bible says this of Jeremiah chapter 18, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, what is the first thing that he says when he gets there? He. And when we want to begin to understand lessons from the potter's house, it always has to begin with the potter. Jeremiah's eyes were fixed on the potter that day, and so our eyes must be fixed on our potter, because really everything hinges, our perspective, our purpose, our joy, all of it hinges on where we fix our eyes. Because you know what? If I, as the clay, fix my eyes on the trouble, I'm going to not be what I need to be. And if I fix my eyes on all of the other things that the potter has made, I'm going to not be what I need to be. But when I fix my eyes on the potter, I can learn to rest in him. And so we see the identity of the potter this morning is God Almighty. But I want you to notice also his intentions. The Bible says that the potter sets out to accomplish or fashion a work. Now, his intention is to take something unprofitable and make it into something profitable. I remember when we were in Honduras back in March, and we drove about an hour and a half up into the mountains, and we came upon this little stretch of sheet metal shacks, and really it was a small community there, and what they did was they made pottery. But I can remember as I walked around the facilities and the yards, and we kind of went back in the back, and we were walking through, we saw the brick kiln. We saw the wheel. We saw some of the things that were out drying and some of the things that were kind of curing and getting ready to go into the fire. But then we also saw this giant blah of stuff. And for a second, I honestly thought it was an area where maybe they had some giant work animals like elephants or something. And like that was the elephant's restroom. I don't know how to say it better. It was not a pretty sight. And I thought, what in the world is that? And the missionary said, that's the clay. That's the clay. And I thought to myself, that's the clay? And you know what stands between a giant pile of blah and something like this? This is something we picked up from Honduras. Do you know the difference between the giant pile of blah and this? The potter's hand. And that's the only difference, ladies and gentlemen. And so when we see the potter this morning, number one, we see his identity, that he is almighty, sovereign God. But we also see his intention. He wants to take something unprofitable. You know, we who are sinners, we who were dead in trespasses and sin, we who the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, that even our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag before God. God wants to take something that is altogether unprofitable, and in the hand of the potter, he wants to fashion, he wants to work, and he wants to turn it into something profitable. Something precious. And to understand that in our lives, the only difference between blah and between the beautiful, between something that is unprofitable and something that is precious, is the potter's hand. Hey, do you know this morning that God's plans for you are good? You might look at your life and say, preacher, but you don't know how sick I am. You don't know how sick, how hurting my family is. You don't know how hard times have been. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us over and over and over again that God's plans, that God's purposes, that God's intentions for us are good. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 84 that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. The Bible says in Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're going to get to the process in a minute. But before we get to the process, we are never going to be able to see the process right until we see the plotter right. God's plans for you are good. God's love for you is great. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, that we are his workmanship. That word can literally be understood as the idea of masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Christian, never forget that it is the potter's hand that gives meaning to the clay, that it is the potter's hand. It is his intention to take something unprofitable and make it profitable. And that there without his hand, there is no purpose. This morning, see the potter. Understand who he is. And understand what he does. And if you understand that, I'm going to tell you everything else falls into place. This morning, see the potter. He is Jehovah God who loves you and gave his son to die for you and raised his son again to live for you and sent his spirit to live in you. He is Jehovah God and he is good. He is good. The potter. But not only do we need this morning to learn the potter, but we also need to learn the process. Look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible says this. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. I want you to notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2, then, the process. You see the problematic materials that the potter has to work with? You know, Jeremiah noticed that the material in the potter's hand left much to be desired. First, it's glorified dirt. It's glorified dirt. Hey, when you're prone to think of yourself more than you ought, we do well to remember that we are glorified dirt. You know what Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 teaches us? Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19 teaches us this. If you could get that on the screen for us, Brother Don. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You know, sometimes we get to thinking pretty good of ourselves. I mean, we're in our fine threads for Sunday. Here, this is the second wearer of the new suit. And, you know, it was an Easter suit, and it worked out all right, so I wore it again. We get to thinking, well, I look all right today. I think I smell all right today. I sang, I sounded all right today. Some of you were going, man, I found Jeremiah before Frank was even done reading the passage. I'm doing all right. I didn't even have to use the tabs today. Look at me. I'm doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, sometimes it's easy to get thinking pretty highly of ourselves. But you know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that we are but dust. And the honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that every one of us this morning is in the same category. We are all marred dirt at that. We are marred clay. The word marred has the idea of being corrupted or destroyed. The idea of ruined. We referenced it earlier, but Isaiah 64 and verse number 6, the Bible teaches us this: for we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, for the clay, there are many issues that have to be dealt with by the potter. For the clay, many times, has debris being taken from the earth that has no business being there. On top of debris, there's sometimes hardening of the clay that the potter has to deal with. Sometimes there are air bubbles that have been incorporated into the clay that the potter has to work out. And the reality is, for you and I, it is no different. Every one of us find our lives from time to time infiltrated by sin that has no business being there. It's remnants of our old life. It's remnants of where we were taken out of. It's not representative of who we are. It's not representative of what we are becoming. But from time to time, the debris of sin works its destructive nature in our life. Hey, from time to time, whether it's by hardening of the head or hardening of the heart, our lives can begin to stiffen and resist the Master's touch. Sometimes we get these pockets of pride in our life, and all of these things mar. They corrupt what the potter is trying to create. And I'm going to remind us this morning, gently in love, that the defect is always with the clay and never with the potter. The defect is always with the clay and never with the potter. But even with problematic materials, I want you to notice the patient molding of the potter. For you see, the potter patiently and masterfully molds the clay. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering and still working on you? Aren't you glad? Amen? Aren't you glad that by God's grace you're in church this morning? Aren't you glad that by God's grace He's still speaking to your heart through His Word this morning? Aren't you glad that by God's grace you still had the privilege to lift your voice in praise this morning? Aren't you glad the potter's still working on you? Hey, and don't ever forget that it is the long-suffering of God. It is the forbearance of God. It is the goodness of God that accomplishes these things in our lives. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4 reminds us of that truth. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And the potter so masterfully and patiently and precisely moves in our life. His hands gently work to remove the debris. The reality is this: if you are a child of God, God will not let you harbor sin in your life and not deal with you. He will not. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 6 and 7 reminds us of that truth. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And thank God for His chastening hand. Now, no one in the moment thanks God for His chastening hand. I have never had one of my children, after having applied the rod of correction to the seat of instruction, I have never had one of my children say, "Thank you, Daddy, so much. Thank you." But you know what? I can look back as a 30-some-odd-year-old man, and you know what I can do? And I've done it. I've looked at my mom and dad and said, "Thank you. Thank you for caring about me enough to not let me go down that path, to not let me do that thing." I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, He will not let you harbor sin in your life and not deal with you. His hands will lovingly remove that debris. God, the master potter, will add the washing of water by the word when we start to dry out and harden. There is no better cure for a hard heart or a hard head than the water of the Word of God. And oh, as the potter adds that water to his loving hands and begins to work that clay again, begins to soften that clay again, he will work out those pockets of pride. And you think about this, church, think about it. The potter works. He works patiently. He works persistently. He works precisely. He works personally. How many of us can look back in our lives and see how God has grown us? When we got saved, we were pretty rough stuff. And you know what? We're still pretty rough stuff, but thank God we're not what we used to be. And for that perspective, we have hope that God is still working, and one day we will be what He has ordained us to be. And you think about it, and boy, doesn't that give you peace? Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't that just give you joy to know that the potter's working with you. The potter's not just with your family, but with you. He loves you, and He patiently and personally and precisely molds your life. Doesn't that just bring you joy this morning? Hey, but I thought it's so ironic how much we are comforted by the thought of God at work in our lives, but how much we chafe at the understanding of His process. Because you know the only way that the potter can mold the clay is with pressure. It's with pressure. He has to take His hands and exert pressure. Now, how many of us would say we love pressure this morning? I brought as an illustration a little molding clay of my own this morning. Play-Doh. It's red, not pink. Your preacher would never play with pink Play-Doh. And I want you to notice something. The only way to take this clay and to make it what you want is to apply pressure. To sometimes, should we say, Brother Blair, stretch it a little bit. Now, I don't know about you. I don't particularly like being stretched. They call it a comfort zone for a reason, right? I mean, come on. And yet, with a little stretching, a little pushing, a little pulling, a little molding, a little fine instrument work, you know, sometimes they bring out straight edges, sometimes they bring out sharp edges because they need to carve some fine detail in. But with pressure, you can take clay and you can get a desired result. It's a soap dish, not an ashtray. We're in church. I should have done this last week. We could have auctioned it off last night. Do you know in the Greek, the word tribulation literally has the idea of pressure? It's the word that's used when two millstones come together to grind out the wheat. It's the word that's used really for a man bearing under. It is the idea of pressure. And you know what? God uses pressure in our lives. He uses trials. He uses tribulation. He uses trouble. But He uses them to mold us and to make us. I'm going to tell you, on Wednesday nights, last week and then again this week, we're finishing up in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're preaching a message entitled, When It Hurts. We're talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And the reality is that it is those times when we feel the pain. It is those times when we feel the pressure. It is those times when we feel the stretch that God is doing something great and marvelous in our lives. You cannot be what God desires you to be without pressure. The problem is we want to escape instead of engage. We want to exit instead of embrace. But you can't be, and I can't be, and we can't be what God has designed us and ordained us to be without His pressure. You will never know the potter's pressure or the potter's purpose without the potter's pressure. And so here we go. You ready? Let's put the rubber to the road. Sometimes we can feel His hand, can't we? Sometimes His hand hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes we don't understand what He's doing or why He's doing or what is this end result going to be. And so when you don't understand the process, trust the potter. When you don't understand His hand, trust His heart. The process. The process. Having understood the potter, and having understood the process, this morning I'd like to finish by looking, if we could, at the product. Look at verse number 4 one more time. The Bible says this, "And the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the potter's hand, and so He made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." I want you to notice the product that is produced. Number one, notice that it is preserved to its purpose. Jeremiah notices that in this instance, there is a pot, there is some sort of vessel that is so marred that it was no longer able to be fashioned to its purpose. And I want you to notice what the potter did. The Bible says that the potter took that marred clay. It was broken. It was full of debris, hardened in some places. And put verse 4 back up there. The Bible says this, does it not? That the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so the potter, in great frustration, threw the clay away. Is that what the Bible says? What does the Bible say? He made it again. Then He made it again. The potter didn't throw the clay away. The potter didn't even set the clay aside. Rather, He took the marred vessel. He took the broken vessel and he molded it again. He fashioned it again and in his loving patience began to press it back and mold and make. He doesn't throw the clay away. And I'm going to tell you the most precious words to me in this entire passage is simply this, that he made it again. He made it again. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a God who doesn't throw the clay away, a God who will make it again? Hey, that we serve a God of the second chance, and the God of the third chance, and the God of the fourth chance, and the God of the fifth chance. And some sit here this morning and say, maybe, well, preacher, I don't like that. Why do we need so many chances? Shouldn't we just get it right? Well, I don't know. But my Bible does say in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 that the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And it seems that the potter will make it again and again and again and again. He doesn't throw the clay away. The Bible teaches that he is faithful and that he is forgiving, ready to work and rework the clay. You know, I shared this verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, that covers that debris in your life, that sin that has no business being there. That covers the hardening of your head or the hardening of your heart. That covers the pride. That covers all of it. I shared that verse with somebody this week and they broke down crying. And I realized for myself, it had been a long time since I had allowed the gravity, the enormity of what that verse means, speak to my heart like that. And ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't throw the clay away. And the very fact, Christian, this morning, that God is still speaking to your heart is evidence that the potter is still working to mold your life. I love Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. On the boat, gone. God got a hold of him, amen? Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, my favorite verse in that whole book. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, I think about Adam and Eve in the garden. You know what I have done if I were God? And I had created this man and this woman and put them in a perfect environment and really just overwhelmed them with my love and gave them but one little thing to allow them to demonstrate their love back, and yet they shook their fist at me and said, you know what, I'll take what you don't. If I were God, I'd have said, done, I'm done. Goodbye, world, goodbye, creation. I was fine without you before. I'll be fine without you from here on. Because let's be honest, God was fine without us before. God doesn't need us, but he loves us. And even then, in that moment when Adam and Eve fell, even in that moment when God confronted them, God promised in that moment, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16, that the seed of the woman, the one who would come, the Christ, would destroy the serpent and would crush sin and its power. I think about King David. King David, a man that God used mightily. But if you know anything about King David, he was a man that messed up mightily. And if King David brought all his baggage into most of our local churches, we wouldn't want much of anything to do with him. Nope, you're not working in children's ministries. Nope, you're not sitting on the platform. Nope, you're not going to be a deacon. Nope, you ain't doing nothing, buddy. You sit there and smile. If King David brought his baggage into most churches, let's be honest. But King David, who messed up royally, and God remade royally over and over and over again. Peter, who three times said, I know not the man, went out and wept bitterly. Jesus met and said, lovest thou me? Pick that man up and began to remake him, so much so that several weeks later on the day of Pentecost, he hopped right up on a stump and reared his back and began to preach Jesus Christ, the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Repent and believe, he said. Repent and believe. God's not done with you. notice with me, the product preserved to its purpose, but also to the praise of its maker. Don't miss the end of verse number 4. I love this. The Bible says this, so he made it again, another vessel. And I want everybody to read that last clause with me. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Let's do that one more time. As seemed good to the potter to make it. One more. As seemed good to the potter to make it. You know what Jeremiah realized? Jeremiah realized this. That the potter made the vessel, and then the potter remade the vessel as seemed good to him. And by the way, what's good to the potter is good for the clay. What's good to the potter is good for the clay. After all, the piece then comes to represent the potter. I want you to think of it this way. You're in an art gallery, and you see this magnificent work of art. Better illustration. You see this magnificent work of art. You know what we did when we were in Honduras? We saw things like this. And you know what we didn't do? We didn't go, wow, pot, you are so beautiful. Pot, how did you get so beautiful? Pot, you're just so amazing. And cups, you are too. And little birdie figurine thingies, boy, you are just so cute. I love you guys. Such a so beautiful pot. You're amazing. No. We looked at the pottery and we did what? We turned around and looked at those people, those men and women, and we said, you guys do amazing work. This is incredible. What a gift you have. This is brilliant. This is tremendous. And you know what the most tremendous aspect of all of this is? Is the potter molds the clay. I get to go out into a dark world. I get to go out into a world who desires truth and who desires answer. As I allow the potter to have his way with me, the whole purpose is that the world would look on me and not say, what a beautiful pot you are. Pot, wonderful. Oh, pot, you're so good. But no, they would look at the pot and they would glorify the potter. They would say, I want to know about him. I want to know if he can take me and do the same thing. You understand this morning that God's not done with you, that he will make you and he will remake you to the praise of his glory if you will let him. And as I look at the Bible, some of the people with the biggest flaws, some of the people with the biggest setbacks, some of the people with the biggest trials and troubles and tribulations were the people who brought the greatest glory to God. Oh, Ephesians, you read the book of Ephesians, you look at chapter 1 and verse number 6, you'll see this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You go to verse number 12, we'll see this, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 14, we see along the same lines, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11, the Bible says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus. Why does he fill us? He fills us unto the glory and praise of Almighty God. This morning, the potter's house. I want you to understand this morning that the purpose to your life is in the potter's hand. That the power to make you what you want need to be is in the potter's hand. That the price is in the potter's hand. And the value, understand this, the value is not so much in the substance as it is in the sculptor. God Almighty has a distinct design purpose for you and your life. And this morning, some of us need to understand that He doesn't throw the clay away. The world might throw the clay away, and sometimes even the church might throw the clay away. But God doesn't throw the clay away. Some of us this morning need to acknowledge the debris of sin, the hardness of head and heart, the pockets of pride. Some of us need to recognize the resistance that we have posed to our potter. You got to know the potter. It's God Almighty and He desires you good. Let me ask you, do you trust God this morning? Do you trust God this morning? Can you embrace His process? It's going to be hard. There's going to be some pressure. There's going to be some pain. But knowing His heart, can you embrace His hand? And then by God's grace, every one of us gets to be a product to the praise of His glory. Don't miss the truth from the potter's house. Standing together this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed.